This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Immigration. Immigration is a constant story along the border with Mexico. Immigration is a story also in the Supreme Court. Most recently, a decision influenced by the news reporting of more and more people passing into Texas, and then the word apprehension is used, but they're released to their own cognizance. And some people go throughout the United States with a bus ticket from the state of Texas. Others make their own way to their friends, their relatives, or their futures. However, they promise to return to a hearing at some point in future about whether they are or are not seeking refuge from bad actors in their home states. We come to Biden versus Texas, most recently decided by the Supreme Court. 5-4, Justice Roberts writing the majority decision, Justice Kavanaugh joining him, and the dissent written by Justice Alito and a dissent written by Justice Barrett. 5-4 deciding that Texas did indeed, there is indeed an intention by Mr. Biden to allow people to proceed into the U.S. without containing them in some fashion in a facility at the border or returning them to Mexico, which was the Trump administration's policy, return to Mexico until and if. Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution joins me to comment on this most recent decision by the Supreme Court and other decisions by the Supreme Court, because these many years, as I understand the political case made by both parties, Congress has paused or been unable to go forward with a new immigration policy that fits the facts of the 21st century. Professor, a very good evening to you. In general, the 5-4 decision did not follow the presumption, the cliche, of conservative court overwhelming the liberal members of the court. Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh joined with the three liberal members of the court to sustain the Biden administration. Was this a surprise to you and to the observers of the court? Good evening to you, Professor.
So I think the answer to that question is probably no. What happens is we're well aware of the fact that on many issues, the six people coalesce, but on administrative law question, it turns out that there are really some fairly sharp differences that start to take place. So both Roberts and Kavanaugh are people who have made more or less peace with the administrative state in a way, for example, that Justice Alito and Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Thomas had not. The dissent of Justice Barrett was on more technical grounds, so it doesn't really go to the merits. But there is, if you had to guess, there is a 3-4-2 kind of division in which the two usually decides with the four makes it six, but sometimes it goes the other way. And what's interesting about this opinion is that Roberts kept it for himself, and I think he did so because he wanted to make sure that even though he sustained the Biden administration's behavior in this particular case, he did so in an opinion that was relatively narrow and highly tailored. And what happened is Justice Kavanaugh comes in with an alternative rationale, which goes back to the famous State Farm case having to do with the level of judicial deference and the level of examination that has to be given to various kinds of situations. And what they did is they basically made the following simple argument. What the statute says is that the president may establish a program at this particular point in cooperation with Mexico. And this is a program that Trump established, which I thought was quite a clever and sensible idea. What he says is we cannot handle people and keep them in the United States in detention facilities. We do not want to leave them on their own recognizance in the United States. They may not return when they're required to do so, but maybe just melt into the population. We'll organize facilities in Mexico with the cooperation of the Mexican governments. That's where they'll stay until we can proceed on an orderly basis. Biden had no patience for anything that Trump ever did. And on the first day in office, he not only basically shut down the Keystone Pipeline, but he also made this decision to shut that program down, which returned the situation to the status quo ante before the Trump initiation took place in 2018. The administrative law question is, can the president undo with the stroke of the pen the same thing that another president did with the stroke of the pen? And if you look at this particular statute, they're not engaged in rulemaking, where there's often a notice and comment hearing and a lot of examinations as to whether or not the record is complete and accurate and properly examined. This is basically a presidential deal with a foreign country. And the Chief Justice put two things together, and I think he was correct. However, I'm happy with the conclusion. One is he says that the word here is may. And two, it's may in connection with an executive agreement, not quite a treaty, but a smaller agreement with the Mexican government that falls into the foreign affairs powers of the United States. And generally speaking, on foreign affairs, the president can act unilaterally under circumstances where when he's doing things domestically, he cannot. And so since he could act that way, we're not going to tell him that he has to reinstate a treaty with Mexico when we have no idea of how those negotiations are going to go. That is, you cannot, he says, do foreign policy negotiations with other governments when you're under judicial compulsion. So he refused to do it. The dissent of Justice Alito took it in the opposite direction. He says, this is absolute madness. He says, as far as I'm concerned, you may, as the president, do or not do things. But once it turns out that the whole system is broken down because of this massive release, you do not have the same degree of discretion that you had when the system was working well. I think on balance, the Alito argument is wrong, regrettably so, because I think what's happened is Biden has the following fixation. If Trump put it into place, it has to be wrong, so I'm going to change it. As I've always said, and I'll say it again on this show, when it comes to Donald Trump, it's always Trump a la carte. That is, you look at the menu, and he may take one from column A, but you don't have to take the second one. On some issues, he's a 10. On some issues, that he's a 2. And so what you have to do when it comes to policies is overlook the manifest deficiencies in his human character and talk about the strength of his administration. And on this situation, vastly superior to what it was that Biden has done. And I think it's a real disservice to the nation to dismantle a program simply because you have resentments for its originator, the president, when in fact the program seems to work. You've got to be able to overcome that and to say Trump did some things right, even though he's done many things wrong. And what happened here is that it's kind of nice. Justice Roberts is, of course, a Republican appointee. Justice Kavanaugh is a Trump appointee, right? And what they do is I think they come out with a perfectly responsible kind of position. So this is one of the cases where I think both opinions are written at a kind of a high level. And I think, you know, if we had more discussions like this, it would be that much the better.
I want to apply ourselves to Justice Kavanaugh's concurrence, because he makes a very neat package about what the options are for DHS. He writes, when the Department of Homeland Security lacks sufficient capacity to detain non-citizens at the southern border pending their immigration proceedings, often asylum proceedings, the immigration laws afford DHS two primary options. Option one, DHS may grant non-citizens parole into the United States if parole provides, quote, a significant public benefit. Option two, DHS may choose to return non-citizens to Mexico. Consistent with that statutory authority, the prior administration chose to return a relatively small group of non-citizens to Mexico. All right, those are the two options for the Trump administration and now for the Biden administration. What is clear to me is the challenge here was, can Mr. Biden reverse Donald Trump's decision about return to Mexico? Justice Kavanaugh makes it very clear he can. You mentioned it on the basis of State Farm. It comes down to this, Richard. The president of the United States exercises executive agency, and therefore he is permitted under the Constitution to make reasonable and reasonably explained decisions. I don't think this was a close call.
Neither do I. The word was may, and may can never mean must. And I don't think you have to add in Justice Kavanaugh's State Farm. State Farm was a case having to do with rulemaking having to do with airbags. And what it actually did was impose a fairly high level of scrutiny on the executive branch, saying they had to consider everything that was relevant and ignore everything that was not. So I don't think it really lines up with this case. I think the foreign affairs argument stands the other way around. And remember, this is a situation where the president is empowered to make deals with foreign countries. And so what they're saying is if you could make a treaty, then the question is whether or not you could revoke it. And generally speaking, with an executive agreement like this, it's perfectly clear that Mexico would never bring a lawsuit to say, you know, what you've done is really impaired us. It was a cooperative deal, and the United States wants to back off. Mexico acquiesces. It's not at all clear if Biden came back again, they would do the same deal again. And that's why it is that Justice Roberts and Kavanaugh constantly stress this. This is a long sort of history. It goes back to a 1936 or so case called Curtis Wright, in which it turned out that the Supreme Court gave an astonishingly broad account what was going on in the executive power. And then more recently, a slightly narrower version of the same thing in a case called Zibitovsky, having to do with who had to decide whether or not a passport from some Jewish person of the United States citizenship born in Israel could put Jerusalem, Israel, or just Jerusalem on the passport. And essentially, the president got the nod there. So we do have this long tradition, and it would be a mistake to read it back into domestic policy. But I think, in effect, that what Roberts wrote was a perfectly workmanlike and professional opinion. And I think on balance, he had the better of the argument. But this does not excuse Biden for making what I regard as just a terrible policy judgment. Because what happens is the states challenged this, and they did have an interest. Their argument is you're overwhelming our facilities in the way in which people come into this country, and you have to take that into account. I think that gives them standing, but I don't think it overcomes the difficulty that you have with the word may. And so what Texas has done is it's put people on a one-way bus to Washington, D.C. and New York. And now you read the Washington Post and everybody's there saying, how can we possibly handle this onslaught of immigrants into the United States? We have no facilities for it. Well, that's the same problem that they had in Texas. And I think that the real thing is that the same folks who are uneasy about this should implore Biden to get control over the situation by putting back the old policy into place. And, you know, it's really tragic. What's going to happen, of course, is politically Biden's playing a terrible part. Hispanic votes in Texas will turn Republican on this issue because many of these communities bear the brunt of the illegal immigration. This is not a form of illegal immigration into the United States of people who are established in families and are ready to take jobs and buy homes and take out mortgages and so forth. These are desperate people, often in need of medical care and help, certainly need of some kind of suspicion, often young, single men capable of doing violence. You can't keep an open border under those kinds of situations. You just have to do something about it. And Biden is simply unable to do so.
There
he has one characteristic which we that you have to condemn. He's too stubborn. He never changes his mind on the basis of new information.
There is a new Supreme Court decision pending an appeal, which that is expected to hear arguments again later this year about the Biden administration's opinions of how the border should be resolved. And when we come back, the 5-4 decision, Justice Roberts joining Justice Kavanaugh in rejecting the Biden administration on this very same matter as what is to be done. Professor Richard Epstein, the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.